content.
Josh. Through time.
Through the wiggle, man. A little wiggle, man. Yeah.
Yes, that is right. The Wiggle Room Through Time is back to talk about some Survivor token chains here today. Very excited to talk about this and happy to have you here with us. I'm Rob Cesternino, and Josh Wiggler is not with us today. He had some personal scheduling stuff that he was not able to make it back here with us to talk about that, but we have a great fill in for the Wiggle Room because it is a pleasure to get to talk to the most knowledgeable Survivor force in the entire world. Here she is, our chief international Survivor correspondent, the great Shannon Gust is here. Shannon, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. Welcome to the time machine. I thought of that while I was falling asleep last night. Is that not good? Like I didn't get a second opinion.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here in the Wiggle Room because I feel like that a big part of your RHAP origin story is also that you were very big part of the very first season of The Wandoff back in season 35. And then you sort of got over it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I never got over it. Like, I still listen to it. I just think everyone surpassed me mm-hmm. and I passed the baton with that.
Yes. Okay. So you got the wand off the ground, and now here you are to be with me here on the Wiggle Room proper.
Yeah, that's super exciting. Obviously, a great episode to talk about as well. So, and I think the pun actually did go well. So it's off to a great start.
It's off to a great start. Shannon, how has your summer been? Or is it your winter?
It's our winter. It's raining, right? It's actually been a beautiful winter, considering we're not really allowed to go outside that much in lockdown, and we just stare outside the window. It's raining right now, but it has been a beautiful survivor-free winter, unfortunately.
Yes. Okay. Well, that part's not great, but I know no. that you did get to recently talk about a survivor as the two-time Australian Survivor superstar, Lockie. Is Lockie his first name or his last name?
It's his first. He's Lachlan.
Lachlan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Lockie has become the Bachelor of Survivor or Bachelor Australia.
Yeah, and we're so desperate for the content, obviously, that this was like a big deal, this like mid-tier character becoming the Bachelor. And you, no, spoiler alert, tiny spoiler alert, none of the contestants except one knew he was on Survivor. It was just incredibly insulting. And he was on a season as it was filming. So, yeah. Painful stuff, but that was fun to talk about. That's the Bachelor. That's the closest I have at the moment.
Okay. Shannon, can you just tell me quickly about Lockie? Is Lockie like a wealthy man? I know he is tall.
You're asking why he's the Bachelor?
Yeah, handsome guy, I guess.
Hayley Strong says he's the best looking lead of a Bachelor franchise she's ever seen. Yeah. So,
wow. He's very tall. Opinion. Does he have a job, Lockie?
So he's an adventure guide in Bali.
So no.
It's obviously a different kind. No. That actually sounds like a legitimate job. I mean, the kind of job that allows you to do 3 reality shows in 2.5 years.
Okay.
So you take from that what you will, but he lives in a different country. He, you know, do any of these contestants have jobs? Does it matter?
I think sometimes that they have like sort of a prestigious job.
I don't know. I mean, I think that he's a good bachelor. Like obviously there was a challenge where he was totally naked. He's been on Survivor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for the people who, it's not that he was naked, it was the content when we all watched it. And I've spoken entirely too much about that scene on air in the last week. So
okay. I won't like, make it's you really do it getting anymore.
It's getting to like a gutter place for me in terms of what I'm talking about. I need Survivor. I'm going stir crazy.
Yes. Shannon, what has this been like for you with no new Survivor here over these last couple of months? Not since we saw Tony walk away with the win.
Oh, what a time. You know what? I can hear my own thoughts again. Not like I'm listening to them on a podcast. Like I can hear myself think again. which has been nice, but I'm ready to go back. Like, I've been desperate. I podcast about Big Brother, Rob. Like, this is the desperation.
Yes. Well, people loved hearing you get to talk about Big Brother. You were recently with Mike Bloom and Bryce and Nick Lozada on the casual cast assessment.
Yes. And I'm so glad you've had me here because I was listening to the Zaddy calendar reveal and I heard Bryce with the fighting words talking about how I didn't deserve the points, which, by the way, like, he won the points. I don't know why he's still fighting. Like, he won the battle. And I now am so glad I have a platform.
This is over Coco Caliente?
Yes. I just want to give my rebuttal. And that is, Rob, if someone said, hey, there's Rob, first name Rob, second name has a podcast, would you give them the maximum 3 points in that game? Surely not.
Yeah. Probably not. Yeah.
No. That's not your name.
Maybe I should change it.
Yeah, but good for branding. Just Rob has a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe I can change my middle name to Hazza.
You could be Rob Harry Podcast, because in Australia, they call, like, Harry Hazza. Anything with an R, like Sharon would be Shazza. So you could be Rob Harry Podcast, and that would be Rob has a podcast in Australia.
What if my middle initial was just H and my last name was as a podcast?
That's what you guys are doing here on Wiggle Room Through Time.
So basically, there was a whole week where we were talking about, do you think that they would ever cast a person named Nick Aragua? Would they ever cast a person? We did the whole gamut. But Shannon, okay, let me explain how this works. We have a slap bracelet that allows us to travel through time. And we are able to visit different time periods so we can rewatch these classic episodes of Survivor. And today we're going back to the 12th new episode of Survivor Token Chains. Technically, it's the 13th episode because there was a recap, but we're not going to count that.
Hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, that's fair to me. Are there rules here? This is essentially
rules.
Meaningless.
No rules. Just right. Okay? So, Shannon, could you guess the original air date for this episode?
Be 2009.
2009, yes.
So May 2000, like early May, I'll go May 8th, 2009.
May 8th, 2009. Okay. And May 14th, 2009.
Within a week. Not terrible.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Then we will get to the live finale and the reunion. I think this was 3 days later. So this was Coach is going to go out here on the classic Thursday spot. And then that's a good spot to go out on if you're going to go out, because you still get to do exit press. And then you go right to the finale. Like, they would fly you out there to do, I don't know if the coach did exit press in New York, but back in the day, that would be a good spot, because then you would already be in New York. You get an extended stay in New York City, because then they would have the finale right after that.
Why were they flying people out for exit press? Did they not have phones then?
No, you used to go on the CBS This Morning and go do the whole junket. I don't know if they were still doing that by the time you got to Survivor Token Chains.
So yeah, this is to a degree, like, a bit of a blind spot for me, because their only seasons since I started watching in season 7 that I never watched live were Gabon and Token Chains.
Why? What were you doing? I can't imagine.
Okay, I used to have a life. I mean, I was in high school and whatever. I wasn't exactly the same person, just quite similarly. But actually what happened was they changed the, I don't know if it was the channel that it was on or, like, the time, but it was not in its usual weekly spot. So my whole family were like, I guess Survivor is over. We just thought that it had been cancelled.
You devastated?
Not as much as I should have been. Mm. Like, it really was my childhood show, but we did talk about it. We were like, wow, I guess that's the end of Survivor. And then after Token Chains and Gabon, there started being a ton of ads everywhere for Russell Hanson, what he was going to do in Samoa. And we were like, oh my God, it's been resurrected, which was really exciting. And I only went back and rewatched those seasons when I, like, found Robert's a podcast 3 years later. Became a super fan, started rewatching, watched the early seasons I'd missed, and I watched these seasons. So I've never seen Token Chains without knowing the outcome, which is also, I feel like anyone watching it probably knew the outcome too. So I have, like, a strange, relationship with the season, but it is a season that I've rewatched many, many times.
Even your brother, the famous Jason Gates, didn't know that Survivor was still on the air during Gabon and Tocantins.
I mean, I think he's going to be mad for me throwing him under the bus. Is this an indictment on, like, a couple of people you would describe as, like, really smart Survivor fans, like, Survivor obsessed? And we were just like, wow, I guess that's over. You know what? I was probably pissed off about Suri being screwed at the final three. Probably needed a bit of time anyway. And by the time I realized, Russell Hans was already doing his thing, so... You know, it was hard to Google things in 2009.
Let's see. Well, maybe that you were too distracted in 2009 by things that were going on. Like, I'm trying to see, like, what are some of the big things from 2009 that maybe you were doing instead of watching Survivor? Maybe were there any big 2009 movies that you were really obsessed with?
I mean, I was in high school.
The movie Obsessed came out in 2009.
I can't think
couples
of pop
retreat.
Culture from
were
that
you
year.
A big couples retreat stan in 2009?
No, I was in high school. I was 16. I had other priorities. Wrong.
Did you go watch the movie Land of the Lost?
I did not. What was I doing that year?
I don't know. 2009 in film. The Coach's 180 movie doesn't come out for a couple of years.
Yeah, no, I didn't watch any of these movies. Give me the list. There has to be something I was watching in 2009.
Okay, oh boy, we're really 2009 box office. Okay, the biggest movie of 2009, unfortunately, was Avatar.
Oh, I saw Avatar. But you know,
but
I saw it late.
I think that comes out at the end of the year.
It did come out at the end of the year. And I also, I think I only saw it in 2010.
Yeah, are you a big Harry Potter person? Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely watched that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it took me all year to watch it.
Yeah. And ironically, the movie 2012 was the fifth biggest movie of 2009. So maybe you were doomsday prepping for 2012.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Okay. Twilight? Were you into the Twilight?
Yes,
Twilight?
Yes. Okay. Oh, you solved it.
New
oh
Moon.
My God, Rob.
Yeah.
That was it. You know, because I didn't watch Gabon, which was 2008 when I was 15. I was completely obsessed with Twilight. Oh my God, I'm so mad at Twilight right now for doing this to me.
Okay.
This
so
is why I don't read.
Yeah. JT and Steven, it was Edward and Bella.
Yes.
All those people. Yes. Jacob, everybody. All right.
And Steven, as with pearlescent skin like Edward as well. So.
Yes. Yeah. Steven and JT, who's the Edward and who's the Jacob?
I thought you were going to say who's the Bella. Well, Edward wins, right? So from that perspective.
Okay.
I don't see many similarities between those.
Men. Either any of those people. All right. Yeah. We're already in 2009, but we might as well hit the didgeridoo anyway. Shannon, you don't play the didgeridoo by any chance, do you?
Why would you assume that?
I'm wondering, maybe they make children in Australia take it. Like, we have to play a thing called a recorder. Like,
we also play the recorder. We are not aliens, Rob.
Okay,
similar to you.
You might have to, somebody might play the didgeridoo in, like, the school band.
One guy in our year played the didgeridoo, okay?
Okay, so that's one more than at my high school.
I find that so offensive. Just because Australians thought that Survivor had disappeared for a full calendar year, just because it had changed channels does not mean that we are lesser than you, does not mean that we are different than you. Insulted by this.
Okay, Shannon, we have to talk about Coach. Tell us, just coming into this, I don't know this about you. Are you a big Coach stan, or does Coach get on your nerves?
No. I love Coach. I love Tocantins Coach. And I actually, somehow, I've watched the whole merge of Tocantins in the last couple of months because I was on the 32 fans.
Oh,
patron episode.
Yes.
And the keeper was like, can you just watch 5 episodes from the merge?
Yeah, let me just set up what that is, because maybe some of the listeners may not know, the Survivor-only listeners. So I do a podcast called Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast with Akiva Winokur. He was my co-host on the Seinfeld post-show recap. We spin a wheel of ideas. He has his own podcast that he does with another gentleman named Alexander Chester, who never watched any Survivor. He was like, the entire Gates family circa 2009, but forever.
Please stop.
And
I'm so
then
sorry.
He would not even try it. And then he tried it. And now he is like a Survivor fiend. and just watches entire seasons in a night straight to his head.
Yeah. So they, at the time, were doing these rewatch podcasts. So they had to stop, I think, because Chester was going so quickly. I mean, you can't do a podcast if you're watching a season a night. So I went on and watched the first 5 episodes of The Merge, which ended the episode before this.
And he hates Coach.
No. So on the podcast, he was saying how much he hates Coach. Then 2 weeks later, I see him on Twitter. He's talking about how he, in his anniversary card to his wife, he's quoting Coach.
Yes.
And now he loves Coach. And I'm like, what changed, Chester, other than obviously watching a lot of Survivor content? That was like a really big jump to me. We also discovered Sierra Reed lives in my home state of Victoria.
Oh.
Runs a winery here, which then eventually came out in her EW interview. And I made them a bet that I would meet Sierra Reed a million times before they could get Steven on their podcast. And even though neither of those things have happened yet, I still feel pretty good about my bet.
I take the Sierra Reed. It's not going to be close. Yeah.
I'm not going to try and
Steven will not return an email to those guys.
I would extend the bet to say that I could meet her before Steven would respond to them.
Yeah. I don't think we could get Steven on this podcast. Good luck, guys.
A million percent not. So. But,
Shannon, so that the Chester parable, I think, is an interesting one because that there's a duality of Coach that watching this episode, I was wondering, is this entire episode, are they playing things up for Coach and giving him this heroic episode, or is this episode mocking Coach?
Well, that was my hypothesis. Like, my question was, is he in on the joke? And my conclusion is, I think he thinks he is, but surely not all of it.
I don't know. But is Survivor treating this episode as a joke? Like, are they doing... This is a parody, this episode.
Yes. That's not a question. Are you, like, him reading the poem and, like, flash to the jury asleep? The dramatic music cut to the rest of the players with this look on their face like, what? There's so much here. And I love that Survivor can really have fun with itself like this. Like, these, like, big character moments. It's completely comedy.
But... at every chance, they don't give him like ever a dodo edit in this episode. They when he goes big, they give him like the soaring, like triumphant music. Like they give him the music cues that he's looking for.
That's the most dodo edit of all. Like it doesn't always have to be in the same package to be a dodo edit. There's literally, what bird is that flying around? Is that a dodo? Like, is that an eagle? I'm confused by the bird. Mm-hmm. But crow? Anyway, he's getting the crow edit. It's like the dodo edit, but worse.
Okay. This episode is basically, other than we see Steven and JT on a reward, this episode is completely like a Coach character study, one-man show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I like that because I think for Token Teens, again, as someone who never watched it live, it certainly doesn't feel like... I mean, the Tyson boot is big and Brendan, you know, is going home. So even Tyson, I think you kind of know... they're gunning for him. It's not so much about the shock factor this season, I would say. It's just about these like crazy characters. 4 of them come back. 3 of them come back, you know, multiple times. And it's, to me, like Token Teens is like a comical character study, at least through the post-merge. So this episode kind of personifies that.
Okay. So we start this episode at the Forza camp, day 33, that Debbie had been voted out. And they break the news to Debbie, or to Coach, that Debbie had been gunning for him. But they saved him.
Yes.
They saved
Coach.
That's
so kind of them.
Yes. Debbie wrote Coach's name down. Coach is relieved to still be in the game. And the guys give him some assurances of that, okay, that he's good and the women will be voted out next.
Yeah. And that kind of, like, he took it to a bit of a sexist place in the tribal council, which we'll talk about when we get to the end of the episode. But there is definitely that male bravado warrior alliance, which will last for the next 35 minutes. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have our cold open. We come back and now it's day 34, the next day. So Coach is talking with Steven and JT about that their next move. Who are they going to vote out next? And the question that they get to is, who should go to Exile Island? Because should it be Taj? Should it be Aaron? what are they going to talk about? Because Coach, it shouldn't be him, Shannon. He has a lot of medical conditions that are mounting at this point.
Yes, but just don't ask medical to actually check them, because they'd be horrified. As doctors, I think they'd be horrified by what they saw, and they'd never recover. But, you know, everyone has been, except JT and Coach, these women who, you know, you can Coach can say what he wants about the Warrior Alliance. They've been to XL multiple times. They've been there alone. They've been there in tough conditions. Like, even Steven has gone, Coach, come on. Like, you can do
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Shannon, I just want to warn you, I have pulled many audio clips from this episode.
I love that. I'm so excited.
Okay. Coach has a number of conditions. One of them is a bronchial condition.
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting around the fire on campus breathing in that smoke, and my lungs feel like I smoked 20 cigars in a row yesterday and inhaled all of them.
Okay. He feels like he smoked 20 cigars in a row and inhaled them.
Not good. Something that would preclude you from going to exile, I would say. Not great. I mean, not good for 2020 either. Go to socially distance.
Yeah, that's not ideal. And he that's him telling us about his asthma. Here is him telling JT about, you know, he would go to Exile Island, but...
I don't want to go to exile. Nobody wants to go to exile at this point. I just hope my asthma doesn't play up. That's a horrible excuse. You know, that's my only fear.
It's a horrible excuse.
Yeah.
He was right.
His asthma could act up. So maybe not. Don't send Coach to Exile Island.
I would say, because he says, you know, as a game move, you'd send the girls. For warrior purposes, he would go. But the thing is, he's also on the bottom of the game. So he doesn't realize where he sits somehow still, despite being relentlessly blindsided multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Coach seems to have a soft spot for JT. I think Coach loves JT.
He does.
Yes. And
everyone loves JT.
Everybody loves JT in this season. And JT at the height of his powers. And Coach and JT are talking about, like, well, the noble thing might be for one of them to go. But we won't do that.
Yeah, I mean, why would you do the noble thing after talking about it for a whole season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Steven has a clip that he's talking about Coach's Amazon. He's like, oh, God. Stop it, Coach. Yeah.
Steven's confessional is really funny. And I think that they're worried because they're like, can Coach make a fire? Like, can Coach do any of these things? Which is, I still have questions about that myself, to be honest.
Yeah. Shannon, in private conversation, we see Steven and JT like, oh, yeah, we're definitely sending Coach to XL.
I love this.
Yeah.
This is a perfect way to kind of set up what the episode is going to be about. Because it's all about the exile visit. Like, that's what the episode is. It's so self-contained. Coach ends up going home in the episode. And to kind of set it up at the beginning is just perfect.
So we have our final five reward. It's kind of a weird challenge, Shannon. So we have a big maze that's the word survivor. And then we also are going to tie people's feet together, and I'm not really sure for what reason. It does not really seem to slow people down.
It just makes them hop awkwardly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I had to do a maze blindfolded. I don't know what, like, a maze with, okay, we're going to tie your legs together. They're like, tie your legs to another person. I could see that. It was just like, okay, you're just going to have shackles around your feet.
Yeah. It'll just make this slightly more difficult.
Yeah. And... Yeah. We're going to see JT ultimately win this challenge. Coach tries to just follow him. JT gets through the maze. He knocks over all of, like, the things with the sandbags, like, in three shots. Again, this is all JT at the height of his powers. Not even close.
JT is in so much power right now. Firstly, the best part of this is Steven's adorable jump and then hug when JT wins. But, like, the incredible power that JT and Steven have in this episode that kind of shows through the season, like, JT can choose Steven for the reward, no problem, can send his ally to exile, not have any blowback, you know, can decide between these really minor things, like, is Coach a jury threat somehow for the sleeping jury, or is, like, did Aaron kind of annoy us a little bit by pushing back at Coach? Like, these are really tiny things, and that's just how much power they have. And then JT is going to go on to win all the immunity challenges from now, so... I still think JT is one of the best winners. And, like, he, as you said, high of his power right now.
Yeah. These guys are just on cruise control getting to this point. And we're going to see now, all right, we need to pick somebody to go to exile. Actually, Shannon, one quick thing. Did you notice that there was like some very like interesting like stylistic choices they made in this challenge? I'm not sure if they do this at any other point in Token Sheens, but I don't even know how to describe it, but I do feel like it's very like 2009 editing style of that they end up like cutting the screen into like three different sections and you're watching like three different things happening at the same time.
Yeah, it's very much like the intern took over and tried to be creative.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what movie like I would have seen that had stuff like this. I don't know if it's like an Ocean's 11 type thing, but they do it a lot here in this challenge.
I'm trying to think if it was in Twilight, being that was my 2009 expertise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jacob and Edward both looking at Bella at the same time. I don't know.
Yeah, it's basically like you're watching different things happening on the screen at the same time. 24 did this type of thing stylistically a lot, but yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why they go with that choice. Maybe just to kind of liven up a challenge that JT is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't have that much intrigue to it, but I mean, the intrigue is in the choice of obviously choosing Coach to go to exile.
Okay, so time to pick JT. First, pick who you're going to go take the reward. It's going to be Steven. We know that. Who are you going to pick to go to exile? And JT has set this up with Coach about the noble thing. He's like, all right, hey, Coach, come on. Time to be noble. It's a noble thing. And he's sort of like, okay, he kind of takes it. The guys will talk about this later. He seemed fine with it. Just, okay, Coach, you're going to go to... He was just going to go to Exile Island.
Yeah. I mean, he's clearly not fine with it. Like, he does not want to go.
But he was going to take it.
Yeah. I mean, what else can he do? Like, it's not a group decision. Like, it's JT's decision.
But this is when Aaron really yanks his train and gets him upset.
Coach, how you feel about going to exile?
I'm good. I'm going to take the monastic approach. I'm not going to build a fire, not going to eat. I'm just going to meditate.
He's going to take the martyr approach. So when he comes back, he can not have eaten, not have slept, not have had any water to do. Minimizing experiences of some, I feel like. And have an excuse when he doesn't win immunity when he gets back.
That's pretty harsh.
Okay. This sets him off, Shannon.
Yeah, my favorite part of this is he's like, I make no excuses, and then he has like so many excuses. I don't think that this is that bad. Like, after a whole season of having to deal with Coach, she snapped a little bit. It's fine. Like, why is everyone so offended by this? Like, yes, she spoke her mind, which is, I guess, strange in Survivor, but also, like, Coach is ridiculous and everyone's on the same page about it.
Yeah, well, he's wound up now.
I've got discs on the right side that have ruptured. I feel my left one is about ready to slip. My asthma's choking me up so bad I can't breathe.
Okay. This is the first we hear about Coach's herniated discs.
Yes. And also, like, did he mention his asthma at any other point in the season before? I don't remember that.
Well, no, I think that this was because he was standing around the fire yesterday. It was like smoking 20 cigars on top of the herniated discs.
Oof. And those don't go well together, I assume.
They don't go well together. But Coach says to Aaron, basically, you can try to hurt him, but you can't, Aaron.
You know, you can throw stones at me, you can, everybody else can, and I go like this. Give me your best shot. Hit me with your best shot, Pat Benatar.
I like this. First off, when he's saying like, and it goes like this, and it goes like this, like he's like rubbing his face, like you could, like, you know, almost you could try to hit him in the face, it doesn't hurt. And then nobody else ever in history has ever said, hit me with your best shot, Pat Benatar. It's like, he's calling Aaron Pat Benatar. Try.
She's the one who says, hit me with your best shot.
Yes, yes.
But that's also the only person that Coach has correctly quoted the whole season. So he can't give a quote and not tell you who it is, right or wrong.
He's upset. Now he's upset. Now, because she basically... Because she called out exactly what he's going to do. I think that's where you're like, no, I wasn't going to just go and do the martyr approach. That wasn't what I was going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard when you have an idea in your head of who you are and it's wrong. It's delusional. And then someone calls out the reality of who you are and you kind of have to confront it. that is a lot to take for Coach, like, who builds himself up so much on being a certain way. So mm-hmm. I get that's hard. I mean, I would like to get to a point where I'm angry enough to just quote Pat Benatar.
Yeah.
That's like another level. Like, I know you guys are talking about, like, dumping the fish being a thing. Like, I want to say, like, Pat Benatar-ing. Like, that's how emotional you've got me.
A little bit of a spoiler here for you, Shannon. No Pat Benatar wand off today. A little disappointed.
They could have put Coach saying it over the music.
Mm-hmm.
It writes itself.
But sorry to say that we don't have that.
What would you have done for the name?
For Pat Benatar? Oh, you put me on the spot. Pat Bendry Bergenatar. Yeah. Let's see. Pat Trick Bolton Atar. It's hard to come up with it, Shannon. It takes me days to write these.
I get it. I've been working on Time Machine all night.
Time Machine. And it was worth it. It was worth it.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Pat Dina Benatar.
Ooh, that's good. But you got there.
It's okay. Let's
edit out the other stuff.
Okay. But Shannon, JT in confessional tells us, he's like, you know, I don't know why Aaron had to do that. That wasn't right. Why should I say that to Coach? So JT is sympathetic to Coach.
Yeah, and I want to say
that. He doesn't love Aaron.
Having to watch this episode this morning and like on 1.5 times, 1.6, 1.7, and then having to slow it down to like 0.8 for JT was mm-hmm. like a headache for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he doesn't like this. I'm like, why? Why is this such a big deal?
Mm-hmm. All right. So we are going to see Aaron and Taj. They go back to camp. Taj has a good hate into Coach, too. I didn't remember this.
Do.
Yeah. She is has no patience for him. Like, the guys are kind of sympathetic to him. I think the guys, like, patronize him. Aaron and Taj have just, there's no patronizing of Coach.
Yeah. I mean, it must be a lot to live with him. Like, it's hilarious for us, but. Yeah, and then so he just voted as well for Aaron. He's been obviously throwing out. Or did he just? He just voted for Taj. So he's been. Who did he vote for last episode?
I'd have to look it up on the wiki.
We voted for one of the women that he thinks is so much lesser in the next tribal council. So I think that they've taken on this whole gender war themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of sick of it. I mean, if he's talking like he does in tribal council with that kind of condescension about, well, we'll get to it. But, I mean, I imagine what he's talking to them like in camp.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, at the tribal council where Debbie goes home, Coach is going to vote for Taj.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yes. Debbie votes for Coach.
Mm.
Oh, a betrayal. Okay. All right. Coach is on Exile Island, and he is really going to work it. Now, we've heard a little bit more between podcast appearances, the oral history of the dragons. The producer, I believe, that was at Ponderosa was the same producer that was at Exile Island for this season. And he and Coach really worked together at putting this whole opus together, his greatest symphony.
Do you believe that? Like, do you believe that Coach is that in on the joke? Like, surely not.
You don't think so? I could definitely see Coach getting out there and it's like, all right, I got to make some great TV. Get this. Watch this. Watch what I'm going to do next. You're not going to believe this. And I could see him just like totally like, all right, come over here. Come on. Oh, let's go up that mountain. Okay, I'll go over there. I could see him just leading the cameraman around.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that stuff is funny. But the funniest stuff is, I think, the stuff that Coach is authentically doing. Like, my favorite thing about him on Exile is him, like, bitching to God about Aaron.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got that. Okay. All right. So here's Coach. You know, Coach has a lot of, like, canned material. But then I also think that sometimes Coach tries to improv. And I think sometimes it goes not as great as other times. Here's Coach where I think he might be vamping a little bit.
Coach Wade's foundation is built on a rock. Inside here, unbreakable, unbending, unyielding.
Okay, unbreakable, unbending, unyielding.
Synonyms of each other. A thesaurus, really.
Right. I think quit while you're ahead. I think, okay. Unbreakable, unbending, unyielding. Okay. But he's going to keep going.
Immeasurable. Immovable, invincible.
Okay. Immeasurable, immovable, invincible. I think that's a miss.
I hot take. I think he should have stopped at unbreakable. Just stop at unbreakable. That's short. That's sweet. That's memorable. Unbreakable. That's it. You don't need all the synonyms. I don't even think go to a unbending. I mean, unbending is the worst one. Should we ding, marry, kill these words?
Yeah. Okay. All right. What's the first one? Let's hear it one more time. Okay.
Inside here. Unbreakable, unbending, unyielding.
Unbreakable, unbending, unyielding.
You don't want to ding unbendable.
Unbreakable. What is it? Unbending?
Unbending is a word?
Unbending. Kill unbending.
Yeah, I'm like, now when you say it over and over, you're like, is that a word? I think you want to marry unbreakable. That you should have just stopped there. Unyielding is fine. Unbending is just a travesty of this whole sentence. Yeah.
Do you want to hear the second batch?
I wrote it down.
Okay.
Immeasurable, immovable, invincible.
Mm. Immeasurable. How is he immeasurable?
You can't measure his manly.
Oh, I assure you not can. Yeah.
Oh, the Lockie scene. What is happening to my brain? Anyway. I'm killing immeasurable.
what's the last one? Because it's not an I am word. It's
immovable, invincible.
Invincible. Okay, now invincible is the one that doesn't belong, though.
Yeah, I mean, look, as an English major, I would say I kind of get it. You know, you start with the same, with the im kind of thing, and then you change it for the last one. It would sound weird to say immeasurable, invincible, immovable, but he does it in the right order. So I will give credit there. This exercise has gone too far, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But invincible, I think you could say unbreakable, invincible. Those are the best ones from each stanza, if you will, of this tiny poem that he's created. And I think you leave it there.
Okay.
Did you enjoy that activity?
What the outwit, outplay, outlast version of this would be. And I'm trying to think of a different O prefix. It's like outwit, outplay, object.
It's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not close. That. It's kind of like, yeah, you're right. It doesn't totally work, but maybe they should change that. That would have been amazing in terms if they'd done the logo for this one episode and made it like immeasurable, immovable, invincible.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the coach coat of arms, the coach of arms.
They could have sold some mugs with that.
Yeah.
Immeasurable, immovable, invincible. Okay. That should have been one of the tattoo ideas for Mike Bloom, I think.
So much lost opportunity. For the sequel.
Maybe we can get that for the next batch of Bloom tats.
Although we did really ruin the word immeasurable for me forever, so.
Okay. Coach tells us, basically, that this is a little bit like his something that his Native American ancestors would have done.
It's going to be like the ancient American Indians that are my ancestors. They used to go out into the wilderness for 48 hours, and they would commune with the creator of the universe, and they would become men. Well, I'm already a man, so this will just make me more of a man, but this is going to be an adventure.
So they would do that, and that would make you a man, but he's already a man, so it would just make him even more of a man.
But it's immeasurable.
Yes.
How can you tell?
Yes. I love that. It really feels like that he's he catches himself of like, oh, wait, that doesn't make sense. Okay, I need to update this.
And they would commune with the creator of the universe, and they would become men. Well, I'm already a man, so this would just make me more of a man, but this is going to be an adventure.
Oh, Coach, such a self-earn. Such an unintended self-earn.
Wow. I guess it is immeasurable. There is no limit to how much of a man he can be.
But you can measure it to know that you're becoming more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, really concerned about where we're taking this.
Okay. Shannon, all right, you talked about his prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He has a prayer that he's has a request from the creator.
Thank you for creating me as an individual. I ask that you would help me to forgive Erin as she's back in camp thinking negative thoughts about me.
Yeah.
I ask that you just, you know, smite Erin is basically what he's saying.
Yeah. That's like the move where you say about somebody like, oh, I pray for them. I pray that to all my haters, I pray for them.
Rob, I need you to know that's my worst thing. Like that is my pet peeve that I put on my Survivor bio.
What?
You saying I pray for you in a condescending way. Like I think using like religion to be condescending is like really irritating to me.
I mean,
hate that.
Shannon, I don't know how you can say this is condescending. He's asking God, please forgive Erin, who is probably back at the camp having negative thoughts. Spoiler alert, she is. She is her and Taj. You should pray for Taj too.
Help me forgive her. He God will never forgive her. He needs the strength to forgive her.
Oh, he's asking God for the strength. I thought he's asking God to forgive Erin. Let me see.
No.
Thank you for creating me as an individual.
I also love that he thanked God for creating him as an individual.
Yeah. Although that is like a daily Jewish prayer.
Yes.
But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. And that's also like a little bit of bragging. Like, God, thank you for making me who I am. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I ask that you would help me to forgive Erin as she's back in camp thinking negative thoughts about me.
Do you think that God answered his prayer?
Yes.
As someone who once said that God doesn't really, you know, necessarily have a vested interest or might be supporting certain people, is God listening to this? Is God helping him with this request?
I think so.
God is tuned in. God is like, what is happening over there? Because that looks entertaining.
Yeah. I think that I had a good point there about that. I don't know if God is pulling the strings of who's winning the Survivor seasons, because, I mean, you would think God would help a woman win one of these seasons.
Oof, I mean, no comment on that, but I think God would have had probably some different results. Would God screw Suri over that many times?
No.
Yeah, no.
No, I don't know.
Survivor is godless. Advantage get and prove that.
Okay. Let's check in with JT and Steven. JT and Steven are going to go on a plane ride, and they're flying to the governor's retreat. Who's this governor?
Yeah, the governor of Brazil.
There's a governor of Brazil?
I don't know. Really put me on the spot here.
Yeah. There's so much talk about the governor's mansion. I didn't think the governor's mansion was that nice.
It was pretty nice. I mean, it had a mirror.
It had a mirror. Shannon, could you describe the layout of the governor's mansion suite that JT and Steven have?
In terms of what, the ensuite?
Seems like that they go into a place, looks like one bed for the two of them,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a bathroom and a shower.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that just like a house?
Yeah, didn't seem that great. You know, that you would think that they would have given JT and Steven separate beds.
Bella and Edward. You said Ella and Bedwood.
Yeah. Okay. JT observes, you can tell there were some big parties held at this place.
Yeah. Is
the governor
trashed?
Knows how to party.
Who is this governor? Like, what would the reveal be? Like, imagine if it was like Jeff Probst. Like, side gig.
He's the governor?
Yeah.
Not the governor from The Walking Dead, is it?
I don't watch The Walking Dead. I only watch Twilight. Can you put that into a Twilight reference for me?
No, I don't know if there's a governor of the where do they live? Like the Pacific Northwest, right?
Yes. I haven't read it since 2009 when I got re-involved in Survivor. I feel like I made the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was going to go either way.
You put the Twilight books down and you picked up Survivor with Russell Hand.
Russell Hand saved me from an entire lifetime of way too hard Twilight standing. There's a different world where I'm talking about Twilight right now on a podcast. Thank you, Russell.
Shannon, you owe me a debt of gratitude.
I'm very grateful.
Okay. So there was some interesting edit choices, I felt like, in the JT and Steven part of this reward. Okay. They're very excited about the shower, but I don't know. I'm going to play this for you. JT in the shower. I don't know what they were going for here. I got a different vibe than I think they were going for, unless I got the vibe that they were going for, which in that case is weird. Okay, mm-hmm. here's JT. He's going to hit the shower.
Oh, man, it was like heaven.
Oh. Now you got
it. Oh, man. Can't get enough of the soap.
Immeasurable.
What is this music?
Why don't they use it for Steven? So insulting.
It goes on.
34 days. I have not washed my nasty tail.
Oh, boy.
I want to use that music in other Survivor scenes.
Oh, man, it was like heaven. Oh. Oh, man.
Why? Why?
Oh, boy. JT at the height of his powers.
I want someone to re-edit this episode and put that music over Exile and the Exile music over the shower. The sexiest Exile trip and the most dramatic shower of all time.
That would be great. That'd be great.
Someone
if they
could
do that.
Yeah.
All right. JT and Steven feast on some Brazilian barbecue here.
Mm-hmm.
All of the meats, all of the grilled pineapple. Unclear if there was any lamb shank. A toast
Didn't
to the final
get
two.
Back, though.
Yes. Yeah. Joe Del Campo was like, "I'd slow down, guys."
Mm, that's how much power they're in right now. They're not even going to get medevaced from this amount of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is just going so well for them.
Going so great for that. A toast to the final two. Do you think that this was binding in Steven's mind that when oh, he's like, "I already toasted to JT."
No, I mean, that's not binding. Like, surely he wants to get rid of JT at a point.
Mm.
Actually, we can talk about it. Like, if he would have got rid of JT here, if he hadn't won immunity, this would have been a good time to do it, maybe. So, but how would he have done it? We'll discuss it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think JT is not going to lose an immunity again. This
yeah,
is like
doesn't.
the first of
yeah.
so that they need to do a last vote.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he couldn't have known that JT would win all three of the last immunity challenges. I defend Steven a lot in this. So, I mean, it's unfortunate. I think he would have got rid of him at a point.
I don't know. I think he loves JT so much.
You know he would have got rid of JT. He's not doing that on purpose.
He loves JT.
How can you disrespect Steven so much to think he would, like, willingly go to the end with JT? You have him on as a know-it-all. That wouldn't be knowing at all.
I know how much he loves JT. He would vote me out. He would vote me out in a second.
He doesn't love you.
Yes.
He's not like, and also he was like, the shower scene would bring anyone together. You guys haven't been through that as far as I'm aware. So.
Yeah. We don't know. He never gets the chance.
I think he would do it.
Yeah.
I think he said many times he would have. I mean, obviously you'd say that he was 7-0, but mm-hmm. I think he would have done it.
Hmm. Okay. Let's go back and, see what Coach is doing, because there's a little bit of some talk from JT and Steven about how they didn't like what Aaron said. Why'd she have to upset Coach? That makes them want to keep Aaron around less. And Coach is on day two of his trip to Exile, and he's talking to himself. In fact, he's interviewing himself. Here's Coach on Exile.
Yes, I'm walking slower. Yes, my asthma is still at the forefront of things. Yes, it's going to take me longer to get to the challenge today.
Who's asking these questions?
Coach.
Yes, I'm producing my own scene at Exile Island. Yes, nobody asked for this. Yes.
No one in the history of this game has asked him about his asthma. That's how you know that no one is asking this question.
Okay. All right. It will take Coach longer to get to the challenge, but he does eventually get there, Shannon.
Yes. With a massive stick as well.
Mm-hmm. It looks like Coach is dying at one point on XL. He's like sort of like washed up in the river.
I mean, to a point, we're all dying, Rob. You know, Marcus Aurelius said that.
Yes. So. Yes. I thought that was Pat Benatar.
He was more probably Pat Benatar than Marcus Aurelius. You know, the stick. So in Survivor South Africa, they used to come back from the Island of Secrets with these massive sticks. Mm-hmm. And then I think Mike and I made up a bit where the sticks were reanimated people. I don't really know where we were going with that. But it's all from this. Like, this is the second most iconic stick in Survivor history. Hard to get that top spot, but surely this is number two.
Let's then go to our immunity challenge, Shannon. Immunity challenge. Yes. Famous immunity challenge.
Definitely. I mean, the music is on point. It would be better if it was that weird porn music, but it's still pretty good. And, you know, Coach has a lot to prove because coming back from exile, he basically said it would make him stronger. Hasn't had water for some reason. Is asking for water, though, immediately, obviously, because people need water to live. So would have been good to have the water. And now he's going to go into this challenge.
Before we get to the challenge, Shannon, we get a rare confessional at the challenge. From Taj. She says, this guy is such a drama queen. They need to come get him. Broke from confessional so that Taj could slam Coach.
They're laying it on thick.
Mm-hmm. Coach has to get some water from JT also.
Yes. Because you really do need water to live. I think that his whole no water, no food, no fire.
See, I thought that that was a misconception.
No, well,
I thought that was an urban legend. You do need water to live?
According to Pat Benatar, I think that, you know, he's like, I'm way stronger from having gone without. Now, please give me a sip of your water immediately. I am dying.
Mm-hmm. Although they asked him, how was it? And Coach said, I had the time of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was starving. And he says, it was great. It was great. So take that, Aaron. I wasn't going to come back and say how terrible it was. I flipped it around. I came back and said, it was so hard and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So take that, yeah. Aaron. What are you going to do now?
Coach, yeah. So I guess, do you think he loved it? I think like I do. The camera I think hog.
He loves being there with a camera. That yeah. I think it's the first time he goes the whole season, right?
Yeah. That's the
yes.
whole point.
It was like he was the star of his own show. I think he loved it.
Yeah. I do you think he loved it watching it back? Like, I think he thought yes. he was fully in on this, and then it's making fun of him way more than he...
I bet this is his favorite episode of Survivor he was ever involved with.
Do you think he got a immeasurable, immovable, invincible tattoo?
He might. He's got a lot of tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a brand steal for him and give him all of his quotes, make them tattoos.
That'd be great. That would be great because he can get it to all the other seasons. So, wonderful idea.
Yeah, I would go with Tyson's conversation with him in Heroes versus Villains. I just have like, don't put feathers in your hair at Tribal.
Mm-hmm.
Stop telling your stories. No one believes your stories.
Yeah, I mean, that's more of Tyson quotes, but it could be in the bracket.
But it's about Coach. Yeah. About Coach.
Okay. So, 15 minutes in, everybody has to move down. Eventually, Aaron is going to drop off. Eventually, Steven is going to drop off. Eventually, Taj is going to drop off. And it's going to come down to JT versus Coach. And this is how Jeff Probst is going to set it up.
We are down to two. JT and Coach. The listener and the talker.
Ooh, the listener and the talker.
I bet you Coach thinks he's the listener.
JT's the listener. Not a great nickname for JT. I don't think that really stuck.
Yeah. Somehow that one didn't stick, Jeff. I mean, is he known to be a listener?
I watch Heroes versus Villains. I don't think so.
Yeah, he talks a lot. You just can't understand what he's saying.
He's a writer at points. Yeah.
Yeah. The writer and the talker. That's way more on point.
Yeah.
The showerer and the talker.
Oh man, it was like heaven.
Oh. Oh man. Can't get enough of the soap.
I can't. I can't ever have a shower again, and yet I desperately want one right now.
Okay. All right. Coach is going to end up, he gives it his all. He really tries to go the distance.
Wait, you didn't do the next part of what Jeff describes him as. And that was what I was waiting for.
What does Coach say?
No, Jeff describes, he says like the young buck and like the old leader. And I was going to mention it because I'm pretty sure Coach is younger than you in this challenge. So no wonder you missed it out.
Is that it? Yeah, I didn't take so much exception to Coach being called the old leader.
Did you know that he's 37 in this scene?
No.
I feel a bit insulted by that. It's not that old.
Yes. Okay. I guess compared to young buck JT at the height of his powers.
I guess compared to it, an older leader. I think he said the word old.
I mean, I think JT's probably 37 at this point.
Yeah. But now or then?
Now. He wasn't 37 then.
I'm really bad with telling JT and Coach's age in this season, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. So JT, at the time of Survivor Token Genes, he was what, 20, probably 24 when he was out there? Yeah, 24. There you go. So 24 in 2009, carry the one. So that would make it, he's 35 now.
I wasn't going to help 36, you.
He's 36, 36, actually. His birthday's in June.
Okay. Happy birthday, JT. Belated.
Happy belated birthday to JT. Okay. So it comes down to it. Coach lets out some primal screams, Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The warrior screams.
The warrior screams and ultimately collapses and comes down.
Yeah.
JT wins immunity.
Unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I think unfortunate for everyone because I feel like, I don't know. I mean, Taj wasn't going to vote out JT. Coach probably wasn't going to vote out JT. But for Steven, somehow he's got to get rid of JT and he's just going to keep winning. Right. And I bet you he would have done it.
You think he would have done it in this round?
I don't know. When does it click for him?
There's no way. I think that maybe Steven felt like, okay, it's the final three. But I kind of feel like that at this point, then, like, what's going to happen? Like, it's going to be him and Coach against... Aaron and Taj.
He keeps Aaron with him.
You think so?
He likes Steven and Aaron.
He has an alliance now, which is going to be Coach and Aaron who hate each other.
Well, Coach is the issue because Coach would never vote out JT.
Mm-hmm.
He'd just run straight back to JT and be like, Steven's being dishonorable. But I think like Aaron would have gone for the game move no matter what it took. I don't see Taj or Coach ever voting out JT. And then I'm like wondering, how did Steven get to this point? Because he has a confessional right after this challenge about how Coach is a warrior and a competitor, so that may be good with the jury, and he doesn't want to sit next to people who can beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad. Obviously, you know, there's a little bit of sad foreshadowing there. And how is Coach the one he's worried about? And also, how does he get to a point where he's with so many people who don't want to vote for JT? And I don't know. He left it too late. Looking back at it, it's just a bit of a sad situation.
I wonder if maybe if he was going to do it and JT was not immune at four, maybe that's the move of Coach is already gone. And then say to...
I don't see Taj doing that.
You don't think that Taj would vote out JT?
No. Because Taj is like playing for JT and Steven.
Then everybody deserves to lose. Because so you got to vote out JT.
I know they all deserve to lose. I'm just thinking like Steven less so. But what was his plan? Like, he'd be forcing fire at four, but then JT would win at fire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is a bit of a mess when I'm thinking back. Like, Steven should have acted sooner. But then he came in at the merge at such a hard point. I don't know. I can't blame him too much.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're sort of in lockstep, and maybe he felt like that people were going to see it, that they're going to give it to him. Maybe he felt like he had some of the votes.
But that was wrong. That was a really bad read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you going to do?
I mean, it keeps me up at night.
No. Shannon, you should go to sleep.
That and my time machine pun.
Yes. Okay. Coach is in bad shape, though. We talked about the asthma. He has the herniated discs. He cannot stand. Jeff asks Coach, should we have medical check you out?
Where are you feeling it?
My back spasm while I was up there the last 10 minutes.
Oh my God, man. I felt something go.
I tried. I couldn't do it.
You gonna want medical to look at that?
Nope. Nobody's taking me out of the game right now. If medical would really look at my back, I wouldn't be here. So no, please don't have them look at my back.
Please. Whatever you do not let medical look at my back. It's so messed up. It's so bad. They'll pull me right out.
I can't go to school today. I'm feeling sick. Oh, should we take you to the doctor? No, please. The doctor won't recover. I need to stay home today.
Please. It's too dangerous. Nobody can look at my back.
Yeah. Medical can only take so much. They've already done the Joe Dowdle thing. Like, how much can they take in one season?
Please. People, they are not trained to deal with the back. This is messed up.
Nope.
Yeah, he's literally fine when they get back to camp.
Yeah, I mean, he's walking back with his massive stick.
Yeah.
Measurable stick. And he's leaning on JT, so a bit of trouble getting back to camp, but that is how long it lasts.
I don't know anything about herniated discs. He walks around fine after.
It seems like it should be worse for longer. I'm not a doctor, but in my completely unexperienced opinion.
Okay. Shannon, we don't spend a ton of time on the strategy back at camp.
Because the strategy of the season is, you know, it's basically JT and Steven rearranging the seats on the Titanic for everyone else. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how are they going to get to the end together? Should Erin go because she kind of did something a little bit annoying, which may prove she's a worse ally for some reason? Should Coach go because he could maybe get jury votes, which he absolutely could not? Like, who cares?
Not even and Tyson?
Maybe Tyson. I mean, the way Debbie left, I don't know. Maybe Debbie and those two votes. Like, he would be the last person to get any of the other votes.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely would not worry about that.
Yeah.
And he's like a joke at the, I mean, like, look at the jury when he's giving his poem. Like, they know how they feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we see Coach pull aside JT. He says he doesn't want any more surprises. He's done with surprises.
Yeah.
We're going to put out Erin.
Yeah. Definitely done with surprises.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like the Roger episode where you basically know he's going. But again, I've never seen it live, but he has to know. Well, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about it.
But JT pulls a fast one, I feel like, on Steven here in this episode, because then he gets basically like permission to like, oh, I promised Coach I can't vote for him. So now he's able to sort of like keep his warrior deal with Coach, and Steven is the bad guy that Coach is going to go back to the jury. That's the one person in the Warrior Alliance that turns back on Coach, to turn his herniated disc on Coach.
Yeah. And it changes it from a unanimous decision to Steven like being a swing vote, which he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes Coach think that Steven made that decision to actually actively turn and vote him out against their alliance. And that power imbalance is why Steven should have acted earlier. But I also think that when I was doing this for 32 fans, this is now like my favorite long-term storyline recently.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the Sierra vote, both Taj and Erin throw their vote. They promise Sierra they wouldn't vote for her. She's been through enough. Like, they all know she's going home. It's not to trick her in any way. They just, like, literally as humans can't do it. And Coach is so livid that they would throw their vote and not do the honorable thing and just vote for the person they want out. He is beyond furious. Then, obviously, it goes to this where JT does it to him. Coach is, like, really happy that JT is stuck with him. He obviously votes for him to win and, like, validates that over Steven, who did the transparent, honest thing of just voting him out. And then, of course, moving to Heroes versus Villains, Coach does the most famous example of this by being a little man, to quote Boston Rob Benatar, and he votes for Courtney instead of Rob. So this, like, that three-pronged storyline to me is actually, like, beautiful over the course of two seasons.
Beautiful over the course of a year.
Character study. And I was back in by Heroes versus Villains, so I was getting some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Twilight was over.
Shannon, let's talk about Coach at Tribal Council. Mm-hmm. You say it's a mixed bag for Coach on the way out the door.
Well, yeah. There's some misquoting of Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
there's the fact that women are dramatic. Men men have pebbles and women have boulders. I didn't quote it because it was too irritating to me, but I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the best cell phone ever is that they say to Coach, will it be a blindsiding? He says no, because women have great intuition, indicating, you know, that a woman is going home. And then when he goes home, it proves that, in fact, men do not. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why he took it to that place, but it was hilarious.
Yeah. He says something like that men drop what they see as a pebble, but to a woman, it's a boulder.
Hmm. Isn't he just saying that women make a mountain out of a molehill?
I think he's trying to say that Erin went to Exile Island and it was so hard for her, but that it was no thing for him.
Women are dramatic. Coach is regular. Coach is subtle.
Yeah. Okay. It is time to vote, but wait.
I wrote a poem for everybody to hear.
As you do.
Okay. Are you ready for Coach's poem?
I'm just getting my pillow like the jury.
See, I feel like Steven would really like this.
Do you think Steven, when he was reciting his poem in his next season, was just thinking about how far he'd fallen?
All right, well, let's listen to Coach's poem, which they do a great job with the edit. We get like a crossfade of everybody being super bored. Tyson is priceless. Everybody is like, oh my God, really? we're playing this, it's like 15 seconds. The show makes it go feel like it went on for 4 hours. Okay, all right, let's listen to the poem and then let's analyze it, okay?
With friend and foe, we march to the battle plain.
Okay. With friend and foe, we march to the battle plain?
Mm-hmm.
Battle plain, okay.
Some to seek success, others to seek fame.
Okay.
Which one do you think Coach thinks he is?
Oh, he's definitely there to seek fame.
Well, what do you think he thinks of himself?
What was the choices? Glory or fame?
Success or fame?
I think he knows it's fame.
He does not know. You give Coach way too much credit.
Okay. All right. Can we rhyme plain and fame?
Yes, I will allow it.
Okay.
We play with honor for the love of this game, and with armor or without, we will toil in vain.
See, okay, so he went. Okay. Yeah, so vain, fame, game, or pain. Anyway, it was a weird rhyme. It was so that was cool.
What's he even talking? Armor? What armor?
They're worried.
We play with honor for the love of this game, and with armor or without, we will toil in vain.
We will toil in vain?
Yeah.
With armor or without? This is nonsense. This is a word salad, a Shannon. This is not a poem.
I like the other poem better. What was it? It was like unbreakable, unbending.
Yeah,
like,
that
I
was
like
more
that
avant-garde.
Yeah. I think, that was like a limerick, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's close it out.
So that someday, someone, somewhere will remember our name.
And that we do.
We definitely do. But I think he probably should have kept the same rhyme scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Only the aims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, the 5-line poem, it's innovative. Also, how do you think he remembered all of that? Did he write it down?
I think he makes it up.
On the spot? Nah. That's a little like a freestyle rap. That would be so impressive.
Well, at least maybe he wrote it on Exile.
I think he did. I think he probably got a pen from the producer, wrote it on his hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he came up with a bunch of material.
What is that, vein?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the memory of it is actually really impressive.
It's good. It's good. Okay.
Now we know why he couldn't boil water doing that.
Too busy writing poems. All right. we're going to get to some of the votes. Erin says Dragon Slade.
She could have done better than that.
Yeah.
It was short.
Yeah. What does Parvati say? Did she say who's the girl that slayed the Dragon Slayer?
When did she say that? In Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That Heroes vs. Villains. I don't remember what Parvati says. I thought you were gonna say, what does Parvati say? You are the dumbest person to ever play this game.
That's one of her catchphrases.
She said she said about Eric.
No, I know. Emma. I know.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that you were saying she should have said that about Coach.
Okay. And then the votes come. Coach, Aaron, Coach. The tribe has spoken.
Sad day. Big week for Coach.
You know, he really did it all. He, you know, was the star of the episode. He got the most screen time. I don't know how many confessionals he has in this episode. I don't know what they constitute a confessional, but I'm sure it was well into double digits.
Yeah, and also, like, it's iconic. We do remember his name. We remember this moment, and I think that's the beauty of it. It was self-fulfilling.
Yeah. How many confessionals for Coach in Survivor Token Genes do you think? Let's see. Comprehensive confessional count here.
Coach has 58. I said 60. 58? Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay, so he doesn't even have the most in the season.
Price is right? Because then I went over.
Yeah, I think JT has more.
JT has 71, Steven has 61. Coach. That's a well-edited season. You know, it's got some consistency across the board.
Even. Nobody's running away with it. There you go. Okay. All right. Shannon, anything else you want to say about this episode before we start to look at some wand-offs that do not include Pat Benatar?
It's a great episode. It was more sexual and dirty than I remembered.
Mm-hmm. Because of the JT shower?
Yeah, and based on some of the things Coach was saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's an iconic episode. It was a good choice. I think Coach on Exile, it's been parodied so many times, and it personifies what Token Teens is, which is, you know, a strategically shallow but hilariously character-based season. So,
okay, it's good. All right. Before we get to the wand off, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor. Shannon, you are going to love it because we're talking about a little show called Big Brother on CBS All Access. Now, Big Brother follows a group of people living together in a house, get this, outfitted with dozens of HD cameras and microphones, and records their every move. And every week, the house guest will vote someone out of the house. And in the end, the last remaining house guest will receive a grand prize of $500,000. Big Brother is back with season 22. And it's an all-star season consisting of your favorite house guest. Shannon, you love Survivor. Big Brother is set up, it's like Survivor, but in a house.
I hear that. So you're advertising Big Brother?
Yes.
That's like amazingly suited to this podcast.
Yes. Because we love Big Brother. We have so much fun. And if you like Rob as a podcast, there's more Rob as a podcast to listen to because we have tons of podcasts about Big Brother. New episodes air CBS and on CBS All Access every Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday at 8, 7 Central. You can go behind the scenes with the live feeds. That's lots of fun. A multicam setup in the house exclusively on CBS All Access. And in addition, you could be catching up on every past season of Big Brother, not to mention Survivor, with CBS All Access. Subscribers can stream thousands of episodes from CBS shows, classics, and exclusive original series. And I might add also that there are a ton of other Viacom properties that have been added to CBS All Access very recently. So visit cbs.com/RHAP for more information and to start your free trial of CBS All Access. You can catch up on all the Big Brother content you need to get ready for season 22. That's at cbs.com/RHAP. That's cbs.com/RHAP.
Stop right there. This is Wanda, and you're in my arena. If you need to, you can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever. If you need to, you can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to me nice. You ought to know right now before you go any further. It's the Wanda. It'll be here forever.
Yes.
Yeah. The Wanda. I really wanted to do that.
It's back. Shannon, have you ever been here for the wand off before?
No, I haven't. I never have.
Okay. This will be fun.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm excited.
That kicked in for me when the theme song came on. I was like, oh, yeah. Wanda.
Yeah. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Hey, we got one more wand off left to go. And then I don't know when the next time we'll do a wand off will be.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That is bad.
Josh Wigler and I scheduled to be back together this Sunday to talk about the Survivor Borneo finale 20 years to the day. Coming up this weekend.
Wow, that worked out.
Yeah.
How did you manage that? I guess you started the premiere and then you did exactly how many episodes are in a season and then you ended on the finale.
Boom. So we will be talking about that. Just a little bit of a heads up. So it's a little bit of a short turnaround. We did talk about this a couple of weeks ago. But we will be talking about the Survivor Borneo finale on Sunday. Okay?
Exciting stuff.
And can I tell you what I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I want to do, like, you were impressed with Coach, right? I want to do the Sue Hawk snakes and rats speech from memory.
Could you do it like, no, I won't ask you to, but could you do it right now? Or are you going to have to practice in the next few days?
I have to practice. But I feel like that it's sense memory. I feel like it's in there somewhere. I feel like I used to know it.
I think you could do it. Like a dramatic reading.
A dramatic reading. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's coming up on Sunday. So excited to talk about that. Okay. All right. But first, they say that on Big Brother also. But first, did you know that?
I'm a super fan now.
You're a super fan now.
Spoiler alert, I won the casual class assessment. So.
Yes. Okay.
I was cheating. I knew most of those people. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. But did you know that but first is the catchphrase of Julie Chen, Moonves?
No, I haven't watched even one episode of Big Brother in my whole life. Like, people were saying, like, Shannon's not a casual. I'm like, I'm not even a casual. Like, I've never watched a moment of the show.
Isn't that the dumbest thing ever, that the catchphrase of the show is but first?
I don't know. Is it dumb that we have a catchphrase? Come on in, guys. Like, oh, pretty damn stupid.
It's like they write on the teleprompter that they is just like, all right, we're going to do this. And then this is coming up. But first, it's like a transition is the catchphrase of the show. And they put on the screen, hashtag but first.
Really?
Yeah.
Does Julie have other catchphrases?
No.
That's crazy to me. In like 20 years, she hasn't come up with more catchphrases?
Expect the unexpected, she says.
Oh, right. I think I've heard that.
She says that. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
There's more catchphrases on Survivor.
Yeah, clearly.
Okay.
There's so many catchphrases on Survivor, and we just came up with several more in this, this one episode, so.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about last week on The Wandoff. Last week, we watched the loved ones visit from Survivor Pearl Islands. Shannon, do you have any fond memories of the Pearl Islands loved ones visit?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my first memories of Survivor.
You were ever. So sad.
You know, that. What? No, I wasn't sad. I mean, I thought, I guess I should have been sad. But that was the first season I watched. And I just remember, I kind of don't think I understood the gravity of the situation. Like, I remember my parents were going nuts and I was like, something big has happened. But I didn't really understand exactly why. But I was excited by their energy.
I was debating showing the dead grandma reward challenge to my 6-year-old Dominic, and then I thought better of it. I thought, I think this might upset him.
Could you tell him before that she's not actually dead?
He's very sensitive. He's a sensitive guy.
Aww.
That somebody would lie and say somebody was dead. I think he would be sad to see that.
Yeah, not for the kids.
Yeah. Oh, but then, or he might think it was hilarious and like tell me things like, "Mom's dead." I said, like, "What happened?" No, I'm kidding, Dad. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
So many layers to that kid.
Yes, although I guess that kind of is like a new catchphrase for Big Brother.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were gonna say "Mom's dead." Oh my god.
No.
You want please. Context anyway.
No, that don't even. All right, Shannon, let's hear about last week in the Wandoff. In third place, it was Michael from Rochester. Bye-bye, Grandma, fair play. Slightly better, Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson with DJ Figueroa McNichol with 10.7% in the Wandoff with second place for Pirate Medley. Boy, I hope those guys are okay. We didn't get a wand off from them for the first time in like 24 weeks. I hope that everybody's okay.
That actually concerns me.
Yes. Okay. That if anybody, you know, talks to Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson regularly, or if DJ Figueroa McNichol is listening, let me know that everybody's okay.
Yeah.
I'm concerned.
And for my one episode as well. I take it personally, yeah, even though there was no announcement that I would be on this podcast.
Yes. Okay. Finally, big runaway winner last week with 66.46% of the vote. It was Waylon Wolverine with a song about a man who I think also campaigned for this song to win. He's Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah, turn on Survivor. There is a liar. Don't believe what he say, 'cause he's Johnny Fairplay, the loved.
Yeah.
Ones those are a fun t-shirt. Or a tiny, tiny tattoo.
Yes. All right, Shannon, are you ready for
this week's
Wandoff? All right, let's bring in the host of the Wandoff. Here he is, the great, late, Casey Kasem is here.
Rob and Josh, it is so great to be back here for the Wandoff.
Casey, no, Josh is not here this week.
Wait, why? Am I always the last to know?
Well, look, he had a thing. We're very excited, Casey. Shannon Gus is here of International Survivor fame.
Such a fan.
Shannon, it's an honor and a jervis to get the chance to work with you on the Wandoff. I'm a big fan of your work.
Oh, that means so much. Like, I actually didn't even register for me that I get to meet you. Like, somehow I didn't even think about it, and I'm just so in awe that you're here. So great to meet you.
It's so nice to hear from you, and thanks for getting the Wandoff off the ground way back when I was first a rookie ghost hosting a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take a lot of the credit for that. I mean, that was mostly Wolf from America, but we've had some times, Casey, and it's really nice to get to meet voice to voice, spirit to spirit, not face to face at this time, but maybe, you know, in the future.
Shannon, we're going to start you off here with a big top six songs in the finals this week.
Okay.
We'll start with the first track here in Wombat's Nation. It comes to us from Who? Here's a Horton, all about the star of the episode.
Come on, coach. Let your body stretch to its limits. Hey, 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 come on, coach. Starve your body, go without sleep. You know you can do it. Coach.
You're on exile.
Coach.
Being with the creator. Honor strength, unbending. Character, dragon king. Can't be moved, can't be bent. Mental, focused, eloquent. Warrior, meditator, poet. Know some quotes, wants you to know it. Honest, true, trustworthy player. Invincible, dragon slayer. Motives pure, approach monastic. Lungs scarred, back spastic. Arms covered with tattoos. Medical, no, I refuse. Not afraid to take a risk. Back may have at least one slip disc. Fighting asthma, pushing through it. Adversity, he's used to it. Coach.
There you go.
Impressive.
That is from the hit artist, Edna Madonna.
I preferred that to both of the coaches' poems in the episode.
Sean, as a Wandoff artist, that I feel like that this is like on American Idol when we bring in somebody who is like a established artist. Do you have any feedback on that?
I thought that was great. I mean, the lyrical play was incredible. It just worked, really, didn't it?
Okay, it worked. All right, that was Who Hears a Horton.
It also said unbending, and I like that. Mm-hmm. My new word.
Shannon, the number two track in Wombat's Nation, comes to us all the way from Canada. It's a long distance dedication to Josh Wiggler, who's not here, from James, from Canada.
Now 40 is done, and Tony is won. We look to the wand off for random fun. We watch episodes of our favorite show, but there's only one place I wanna go. I wanna see Coach cry. Token jeans with JT and that other guy. Token jeans.
Was James from Canada playing that guitar? Amazingly impressive.
Very impressive work from Tata the Bushman.
What is that parodying?
Glycerine from Bush.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't have the context of that, but I thought it was great. Oh no, I just pulled a Spice Girls. Am I going to get so many Twitter mentions?
It's the wand off through time. Not as many mentions as you might get if it was season 40.
Okay, good to know what the stakes are.
Shannon, the number three track here in Wombat's Nation is all about a man who loves a certain prefix. Here is a track from the winner of last week's wand off. It's Waylon Wolverine trying to go 2 for 2.
Coach Wade's foundation is built on a rock. Inside here, unbreakable, unbending, unyielding, immeasurable, immovable, invincible. Unbreakable.
He survived having no food or sleep.
Unbending.
Gotta win the challenge. JT looking strong as well.
Unyielding.
On exile islands, made a dragon king.
Unbreakable.
Gonna read a poem.
That's gonna be,
immeasurable, immovable, invincible.
Damn it!
That was the theme song to The Unbreakable Kimmy Kappenberg.
That one wrote itself, but that was amazing. That was so good. I'm wondering why people aren't putting their real names, assuming his name isn't Waylon Wolverine,
mm-hmm.
to these songs. Like, I think something shifted in the wand off at a point.
I think everyone was people don't want to be Googled when they go on like a job interview.
No, I get that. I mean, like if you Google me now in both of Shannon Gates and Shannon Gus, it's all this.
Yeah.
Which is honestly so much more preferable to the top model stuff. Like, I'm glad my internet search history has been, like, doubled down on that. But, I mean, I was always using my name. I was proud of the songs, and people are creating such good stuff. And they are, you know, they're using the fake DJ Bell Klein-esque names.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, should I be more ashamed?
Oh, so do you feel like that DJ LaBelle Klein, if when somebody does the oral history of the wand off, that they'll say that DJ LaBelle Klein was the first person that came along and said, hey, have an alternative persona.
Yeah, that's why all of the DJs are season 33 last names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
But of course it was him. He's an innovator.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's a good point.
See, I never shied away from using my name, and I'm just wondering if I should have more pride.
Yeah. Hmm.
But also, I don't have anything else.
Yeah.
Do these people have something to protect? Like... Well,
I should have done all of these episodes under my stage name, Rob H. as a podcast.
Rob Harry Podcast. exactly. That's the best stage name. You should actually use that. And it'll be proving
Rob
Bryce
Harry
right.
Podcast?
Yes.
Yeah, I could. I think you wouldn't forget that.
You wouldn't forget Rob Harry Podcast.
Yeah.
With a name like podcast, how could you, with a name like Rob, no. Mm. Yeah, I think you should do it. You should legally change your name. You'd really one up Mike Bloom.
Yeah.
Then he would change his last name to like Rafone, Microphone. And then he'd one up you. And it would be like that Friends episode where they keep changing their name.
Mm-hmm. We'll go back and forth.
Mm. All right.
Shannon, the number four song in Wombat's Nation is from Michael and Tim from Rochester talking about the man of the hour.
Coach Wade is here to be put to the test. Through great adversity comes great success. No food, no water, no chance of rest. No shelter, no fire.
I would choose no less.
No matter how slow you see that I walk, Coach Wade's foundation is built like a rock. Unbending, unyielding, unbreakable. Immeasurable, immovable, invincible. Living the dream on Exile Island, communing with nature in the Brazilian highlands, surviving the game as the last of the Mohicans, pushing myself to become a man. Living the dream on Exile Island, communing with nature in the Brazilian highlands, surviving the game as the last of the Mohicans, pushing myself to become a man. Well, I'm already a man, so this will just make me more of a man. The dragon. Slayer with the dragon king. Exile is a treat, just like a vacay. It's my champagne, challenging my brain. Should I say it again? Oh, Jeff, I just thought of a poem! With friend and foe, we march to the battle plain. Some to seek success, others to seek fame. We play with honor for the love of this game. And with armor or without, we will toil in vain. So that someday, someone, somewhere, will remember our name. Period, paragraph.
That was from Chris Underwood Noble. Okay. Shannon, I have so many questions for Michael and Tim from Rochester to parody the Chris Noble Ponderosa song that I'm trying to get inside their head and trying to get inside their thought process of how did they get to the Chris Noble Ponderosa song?
Well, I think they must have known somehow, even though we didn't even know that I would be on this podcast. And they know that I'm like, I love the Chris Noble rap. How do they get the background music?
I'm not sure.
Because I want that. I want to write my own Chris Noble rap.
Well, okay. I have some theories. Okay. First off, in the episode, there's some talk about JT and Coach talk about, should we do it the Noble way? Did that saying do it the Noble way, did that incept Michael and Tim from Rochester to start thinking about Chris Noble?
Or
is that possible?
Was an episode based around a delusional insane man?
Yes.
A bit of a tipple.
Well, I think that Chris Noble, I think, did get compared to Coach on more than one occasion in terms of like, could this be the new Coach? That's also a possibility. And I also posit to you a third possibility over the summer when Dalton Ross did the oral history of the dragons, and that was another real look inside the mind of Coach that ultimately culminated in a look back at all of the notable Ponderosa videos, and Chris Noble and Coach were linked through that as well.
Yeah, Chris Noble and Coach are inextricably linked in so many ways. Like, I think we can pretty much consider this mystery solved. Yeah, they're basically the same person at this point. Bro, I think you need to get some sleep. How much time did you spend thinking of all those theories? You've got like a whiteboard with different connections going on.
It's all making sense to me.
You're definitely a conspiracy theory guy at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that all made a lot of sense.
Okay. All right. Michael and Tim, write in and let us know.
What does Casey think?
I think that I've been doing way too many wand-offs here for too many weeks in a row. All right, Casey, come on. Don't ruin our fun.
Casey, do you think that Rob should get a life?
Forget getting a life. I never had one to begin with. Hey, come on. Oof. Come on. Really? Casey, knock it off.
Professional.
Yeah. All right. The number five song
in Wombat's Nation comes to us from the great Davis, Will, who wants to talk about that famous bro down in the shower.
I don't know, it's just something about them. The bromance between JT and Steven. Anytime someone mentions her name, they're the pair that you have to believe in. One of them is a brand new zaddy for November 2021. They can have all the votes from the jury and leave everyone else with none. They make a great combo with Run and Brains, the perfect complement to each other's games. Not to mention they both seem like best friends. So that is why they go to a resort for winning the reward. They'll have a barbecue. Final two, a private jet plane flight. They can't get clean tonight. So JT's in the mirror, Steven's in the shower.
That was from the artist Becky G. Lee.
We've rewritten this episode. This is going to be like, you know, the Mara approach with that really iconic scene? Oh, the one with JT in the shower? Like, I think that is now the main scene of the episode.
Oh, man, it was like heaven.
Oh. Oh, man. Can't get enough of the soap.
I just can't.
Shannon, we have a rare sixth entry in the wand off this week. This comes to us from a wand off contributor known as Maybe Sam. I'm not sure if that's the artist's name or we're not sure who it's from. This is Maybe Sam with a song called Unbreakable.
His lungs are scarred from the smoke he's breathing. With Debbie gone, he's got no one to believe in. JT won't do it, so it's up to Steven. So now it looks like Coach Wade is leaving. His next days might be some of his worst. He'll be on exile and his back disc might rupture. He'll be a martyr and he won't be eating. And now it looks like Coach Wade is leaving. No, Coach is unbreakable. His spirit is immeasurable. His foundation is immovable. The dragon stands invincible. He's also unbreakable. He's also unbreakable.
Unbreakable, unbending, unyielding, immeasurable, immovable, invincible.
With Brendan Foley, we march through the battle plain. Some two seek success, others two seek fame. We play with honor for the love of this game. So that someday, someone, somewhere, we'll remember our name. He's on the wall and he just starts screaming. No one believes the tales he's weaving.
Don't tell your stories, people don't believe your stories.
Coach Wade is definitely leaving. JT won't do it, so it's up to. So it's up to, so it's up to Steven. Coach is unbreakable, his spirit is immeasurable. His foundation's immovable, the dragon slayer's invincible. He's also unbreakable. He's also unbending.
He's also unbending. Wow.
And that was from the artist Break Steven Fishback.
Poor Steven. Didn't even get a sexy shower edit. That was amazing. And I'm so impressed with the way that people can fit Kosher's poem into different songs.
He gave them a lot to work with this week. Of
course, he really did.
You could vote all week long, or at least before Sunday. Go to robazawebsite.com/votewanda.
Casey, before you go, which words of unbreakable, unbendable, like which word would you ding out of those words?
Immeasurable.
Fair enough, Casey. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. I've got my eyes on the final Wanda off this weekend.
What are you going to do with your vacation time?
The problem is that I can't go anywhere during the lockdown.
I know, right? I know. Ugh. Yeah. Don't get me started. I mean, lockdown's obviously extended all the way up there. So, it's a massive
2020,
problem.
Am I right?
Yeah. Oh, Casey. It's been, listen to what we're doing right now.
All right, like, Casey, don't linger. Okay. All right. Thank you. The segment is over, Casey Kasem.
Bye,
all
Casey.
Right. Until next time, keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands off the table. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you, Kate. It's so nice to see you.
Okay. There he goes. Okay.
All lovely right. Man.
Shannon, well, I had so much fun with you going through all this.
I had more fun than this probably deserved. I am going to go take a shower.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. That, the soap. Okay. All right. Randy Newpole, also big thanks for going through all of the SoundCloud playlist as well. Once again, could not do it without the noob.
Top five human.
Okay.
I'm getting it all out. I'm all doing all the wiggle room stuff that I've never done.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Much better catchphrases than, but first.
Way more wiggle room catchphrases than that.
Yes. Okay. Shannon, what else do you have going on these days? You talked about The Bachelor. You talked about Lockie.
I never know. I didn't know I was doing this podcast, and here I am. So who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It's an evolving situation. You follow me at Shannon Gates because we might talk about The Bachelor again at the end of the series.
Yes. Amy and Haley enjoy Lockie as The Bachelor. I know Haley said he's the best looking bachelor ever.
No, they loved it. They said that they thought they were just going to watch the first week to do the podcast, and now they want to keep up with it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good content.
Yeah. So, is the Australian Bachelor more wild than the U.S. Bachelor?
No, it's much less wild.
Hmm.
It's not as extravagant. We don't do the travel. We don't have the engagements. There's no fantasy suites. It's a much more demure version. Like, I've said this many times.
It's demure.
Well, you know, everything America does has to be so extra. Like, mm-hmm. I've definitely spoken about on the podcast, going to America and seeing that Deal or No Deal gives $1 million to the main prize. Like,
yes.
Why does America have to do everything so extremely? Australia just does things in a normal way.
Yeah.
Like, this is what it is. America is coach, and Australia is who coach thinks he is.
See, I would think there would be, like, more partying on the Australian Bachelor.
What do you think of it? Nah, everyone's playing the didgeridoo.
No, but in all seriousness, I feel like the people like, would be, I feel like it would be like more of a party.
Why would you think that?
I don't know. That's what happens on Australian Survivor.
Is it? Does it?
I don't know.
Okay, well.
I feel like the Australians are fun.
I'm the Australian, you know, one of the best. So how could you possibly think that?
But I feel like you're an outlier. I feel like you're just...
That's so mean. I can call myself not fun. You can't agree with me.
I just don't think you're like a party animal.
I'm not. But you can't say that. Nah, it's fine. You know me, Rob.
Do you want to be a party animal?
No, it's fine. I know who I am.
I'm not a party animal.
No, I know who I am. Like, I'm someone who podcasts about Survivor and in a different timeline.
I don't even like parties.
About Twilight. Yeah, and there's no time
like
around parties. I hate parties.
Yeah,
I genuinely hate. I don't remember the last time. Yeah,
overrated
to,
parties.
So bad. Give me a coffee with a friend, a phone call, a podcast. I don't want to go to a party.
Yeah, yeah. What's going on at a party?
I mean, is the party like laser tag that I'd enjoy? Are we going bowling?
You like laser tag?
I want to do an activity. You know, I want to, you know, do something fun. I don't want to just stand around.
No.
Really. Yeah. Wow, I'm painting myself so poorly. I'm trying to help my reputation, you know, but.
Yeah. All right. Mm. So Shannon,
do you think Casey liked me?
Yes, I do. I do think he liked you. He doesn't like me.
No, he hates you.
He's had enough of me.
I'm concerned that that's your manifestation.
That's the voice in my head.
And he's so mean to you, Rob. Be kind to yourself.
Shannon, this was so fun to get to catch up. When will we podcast again?
I don't know, Rob. I don't know. Give me the podcast. Spin me on the wheel. I'll come on Renap.
What do you want to do on Renap?
Season 3, episode 7 in the fishbowl. Get me on for that.
Do you have a season 3, episode 7? What do you have?
Community. And I've also been talking to Akiva about Scrubs.
Okay. All right, that's what we're going to do. Season 3, episode 7 of Scrubs. I've never watched an episode of Scrubs.
I'm not. That's all I'm doing at the moment. I'm rewatching Scrubs.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So I don't have that much to talk about, but I love that you asked me to do this. This was so fun.
Good.
I enjoy talking about, I miss Survivor. I miss talking to you. I miss podcasting. So I'm really, this summed it all up in one podcast.
Okay. All right. Of course, everybody. Say hi to Shannon on social media. Let her know. Let Shannon know that you miss hearing from her. And of course, we've got so much going on over on RHAP between all of the Big Brother. We just dropped a Talking with T-Bird with Keith Famey.
I just saw that. That's a get.
Yes. That was a great get from T-Bird. We talked a lot about what he's been up to since Survivor. He's a documentary filmmaker. He has some pretty cool stories about that. We asked him some good questions about Survivor, the Australian Outback. And so fun to catch up with Keith Famey. We also have been covering a little show known as Tough as Nails. Mm. Shannon, do you have Tough as Nails in Australia?
No, we don't.
Oh.
We just have didgeridoo play. I still can't get over the fact that you think that we all, anyway.
I didn't think everybody played the didgeridoo, but I didn't think it was uncommon that somebody would play the didgeridoo.
Okay. You can say what you want to say.
Shannon, at your wedding to the great Peter Gus, did you have a band or a DJ?
A band.
Did the band have a
didgeridoo? There was no didgeridoo in our band. It was a normal wedding, like any wedding you would see in America. Just regular people living in a different country.
I don't know. I don't know. Most of my experience of, you know, life in Australia has come from Survivor, either watching Australian Survivor or Survivor the Australian Outback.
Yeah. My life isn't like this, like Australian Survivor.
It's on my bucket list to come visit one day.
I've been promised a know-it-all by Sam one day.
Yes. Okay.
You can stay in my apartment.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Okay,
you were so unenthusiastic about that.
No,
also.
I'm just saying, like, I feel like a live know-it-alls in Australia is a ways off. I feel like
it is very far.
First step is Americans have to be allowed to leave the country.
It has to be Survivor.
Yes. And those Americans that are allowed to leave the country have to go to Fiji. That's step one. Then we get the shows back. Okay.
But if you come here, you can stay here.
One day.
Okay.
Yes. Before I am no longer Mr. Rob Harry Podcast, then one of those days I would like to get to Australia and podcast there. That would be wonderful. All right.
One day.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was so much fun. Of course, check out everything else we have going on at RobHarryWebsite.com. So go ahead and check that out. And of course, thanks so much to the patrons that keep all this podcasting going. Head on over to robiswebsite.com/patron for more information. And this week, we're promoting the Mole Patrol podcast. Josh isn't here to do it, but I could tell you about Mole Patrol with Josh and Jessica Lease and Brooklyn Zed watching The Mole, the hit show from 2001, that they're going back and watching it, and you can enjoy it with them. Josh has never seen it. Shannon, have you ever watched The Mole?
I have not. I've heard good things.
Okay. Well, that's something else. Instead of rewatching Scrubs,
I'm really enjoying my Scrubs rewatch. Like, I'm not asking for an alternative plan.
You know who loved a good Scrubs? JT.
Oh, man, it was like heaven.
Stop it.
Oh, man.
can't get enough of the soap.
Stop it. Violated.
Scrubs constantly.
Fine, I won't watch Scrubs anymore. You did it. I'll watch them all.
Okay. All right. Shannon, thank you so much. Really appreciate you stepping in here for Josh. Hopefully this weekend on Sunday, Josh will be back with me to talk about the Survivor Borneo finale. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Yeah. Turn on Survivor. There is a liar. Don't believe what he say, 'cause he's Johnny Fairplay. The loved ones visit at last. Fairplay has to ask, is Grandma okay? Then Thunder D say, dude, she died like Balboa Rupert's pet snake. Dude, she died like a challenge with a spelling mistake. But he lied, and he did it with a straight face, 'cause he's Johnny Fairplay. Before Russell Hands broke the whole game apart, before Spy Shack's made by Tony, yeah, before the Black Widows got Eric to give away his immunity, he sparked the fire. The OG liar, he went too far,
too far, too far,
'cause he's Johnny. A big fake. Favorite meal is in New York State.
Can't believe the words he
Don't
said.
Believe a single word he said.
Oh no,
he's Johnny Fairplay. Yes, he lied. Ain't no reason for a grandma wait.
Oh, he lied.
She's watching Springer on commercial breaks. They all cried. Lil gave him a kiss on the face.
Kiss
he's Johnny Fairplay.
Gucci died.
Like Balboa Rupert's pet snake. Like a challenge with a spelling mistake. But he lied. And he did it with a straight face.